This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Still tons of guests coming your way, and we have stuff still to talk about. It's a busy, busy ACC sports weekend.
And if you were not with us at 7 o'clock this morning, Packer offered you a new creed on this program. In the winter, you get used to Friday night duels, right? Wrestling in the ACC. Product has immensely delivered in the 2 years we've been on the air. Wouldn't you agree?
Without question.
All right. You earlier said today you probably ought to settle right in on Thursday nights for lacrosse too, huh?
To me, it's gotten to that point. And if you've watched the last couple Thursday nights on ACC Network, if you have not been entertained, even if you didn't know the difference between a lacrosse stick and a pair of Nikes, you'd still sit there on the couch and watch it and go, wow, that was awesome. And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Last night, Duke, Virginia, that was awesome. These games have been ridiculous. Duke, Syracuse has been great. Duke, North Carolina was great. Duke, Virginia last night was great. Thursday nights on ACC Network during this time of the year with lacrosse has been very similar to me than Friday nights with the Friday night duels with wrestling. That you may not know the first person, the coach. You may not even understand a headlock from whatever the case may be, but you were entertained. But that's the deal with lacrosse. I mean, those two last night, if you stumbled across it or you were dialed into it, you turn it on at 7. Mm-hmm. And you just put the remote down. And again, I didn't get a chance to see the women's match between Boston College and Notre Dame because I was doing the radio show. But at 7 p.m. Eastern time,
it was good too.
The men cranked it up, but the ladies are out of sight. We keep telling you, lacrosse in this sport, I don't care. You pick the gender. You're going to watch a handful of top 10 teams get after each other. And it started with BC Notre Dame on the network yesterday afternoon, and it rolled right in to Duke and Virginia last night. It was great stuff.
Yep. Boston College beat Notre Dame 19-11. Bell Smith, 6 points, 4 goals, couple of assists for the Eagles, who were number 5 in the country, and quite frankly, smashed Notre Dame. Goalie Rachel Hall had 11 saves, by the way, in the cage for Boston College.
And that's the same Notre Dame team that pushed North Carolina, who's ranked number 1, to the brink over the weekend in the rain. And I think it was like an 11-10 score. As it led into more spring football, Mr. Durham, if I'm not mistaken, your game, which was the NC
That's
State
right.
red
yep.
and white spring game. But again, I'm just telling you, the spring sports, the Olympic sports in this league are unbelievably entertaining. And like I said, you don't even have to understand the rules of the game, and you'll put your feet up and go, wow, that was awesome. That was great and entertaining. And like I said, I can't emphasize that enough. After watching Duke again on a Thursday night with lacrosse, it's just great stuff.
Yeah, let's pivot to last night in Charlottesville because a Charlottesville native, Joe Robertson, who plays for Duke, got the game winner in overtime last night for the Blue Devils, 13-12. Second time in 2 weeks that Robertson has had the game winner for the Blue Devils in overtime. He beat Carolina 2 weeks ago last night. And does it again last night to the hometown Cavaliers. Robertson went to St. Anne's and has played his lacrosse at Duke and goes home last night and gets a big win for Coach Danowski and the Blue Devils in the victory at Charlottesville. So a replay, by the way, of the 2019 National Semifinals, which was a sensational match, and last night proved to be just as well, Pac.
Both games overtime, both games 13-12. Mm. This time a little role reversal with Duke winning on the road. But, you know, Sowers was awesome.
Yep.
Docs Aitken, I told you, he had a couple of goals last night. And you just went, wow, what a shot. Yeah. Where did that come from? But the men and the women are incredibly entertaining. I'm just telling you, man, lacrosse rocks in this league. It's unbelievable.
Yep, it is sensational. Heck of a match last night, and there's my man Connor Schellenberger taken down on an ankle break behind the cage and getting a goal for Virginia. Great game, and looking forward to more this weekend, and we'll see John Donesco coming up bottom of the hour here on Packer and Durham. Let's pivot out to Omaha, Nebraska,
volleyball.
Volleyball at the NCAA tournament out in Omaha. The ACC gets two teams into the Sweet 16. Louisville is there and Pitt is there. Nicely done by Coach Fisher and the Panthers. Beat Utah 3-0. Danny Busboom Kelly and the Cards beat San Diego 3-1. National seed matches for Notre Dame and Georgia Tech don't go the way for the Irish and the Jackets. Their season comes to a conclusion, but congratulations on a great run, in particular for Georgia Tech. First trip in 12 years to the NCAA volleyball tournament for the Jackets. So that's an update, and keep your eye on that this weekend.
And it should be pointed out, as we did in the first hour, first time ever, first time since Dirt, the Pitt volleyball team in the Sweet 16. Now, we've had Kayla Lund on the program, and last year was a bit of a disappointment because they had a chance and hosting and thought that, hey, this could be the year. And, of course, they got kicked out early, didn't make it. That was a stunner. Last night, took care of business. That was a late, late match, started around 10:30. But Pitt is alive, and so is Louisville. So we'll wish those two teams the very best moving forward. But, Wes, as you pointed out, it's all that's being done out in Omaha, Nebraska. And the coveted invite will be on the call. She'll be covering it like crazy,
that's
right?
That's it.
She knows her stuff.
Yep. Let's move to women's golf. Sedgefield in Greensboro hosting the ACC Women's Golf Championship. We move into day three today. Wake Forest leads the tournament. They and Duke, the only two teams under par after two rounds of action. Gina Kim is the individual leader at 7 under par. Wake's got the team lead by two shots over the Blue Devils. Just a competitive deal with these two, Pac. This is who we thought we'd see at the top, Florida State. Beatrice Wallen is 6 under in the individual, and they are 10 back of the Blue Devils. But Wake and Duke look like they're going to go to the wire at this thing, and match play is in the days ahead at the ACC Women's Golf Championship.
Well, you want to finish in the top four. Today's the final round to qualify from that perspective. Should be beautiful weather in Greensboro. You want to be in the top four because that's where match play begins. But it does feel like a Duke-Wake Forest deal one way or the other. But you know what? We've got about five ACC women's teams ranked in the top 15 in the country. And you know what? Florida State, Virginia Tech, maybe Virginia makes a run today. They all think they're worthy of creating some noise. And, you know, you get into match play, Wes, very different than stroke play, as you well know. And I don't care what you're ranked and all that stuff. Match play is a different animal. So we'll see who makes the top four. But it seems like it's kind of a Duke-Wake Forest thing one way or the other. Choose your poison on that. Duke, I think we talked about earlier this week with Coach Brooks. They've won 21-31 ACC titles. Wake Forest is the defending champ. Sedgefield, the place to be, though. Again, great weather this weekend. Should be great. So if you want to go out, check out some great women's golf, that is the place to be. Greensboro, NC, this weekend.
What kind of match player were you, by the way, Pat?
I was a really, you know, I was a good match play player. You know why? Because I could really putt. I was a really good putter, and I can make some birdies. And match play, if, again, for folks that don't have any idea how this works, if Wes and I are playing against each other, we go to the first hole, and Wes makes a 4 and I make a 10, Wes is up 1, not 6. He's up 1. And the next hole, if I make a 4, Wes makes a 5, we're even. Even though, you know, from a stroke standpoint, Wes has done it in a lot fewer strokes. Doesn't matter. So match play is kind of wide open. If you could be a wild card, that's why sometimes – maybe the least talented team has a shot, because if you get two or three people get red hot, make a ton of birdies and win matches, that's how you acquire points. So match play different than stroke play. I think if to find a real consistent player or better team, stroke play gives you a better indicator to me over time. Match play, somebody can get hot and steal one. So we'll see how it goes, but that's how it works.
There you go. Good putter. Packer. Putter.
I like was. I may shoot 84, but I could make 7 birdies. You know, and that and so in stroke play, 84 doesn't help you. But in match play, 7 birdies would probably be 7-1 holes. So that's how it works.
Did you ever have aspirations of being on the professional putters tour?
Never. Never. Even though I did work at the putt-putt on Stratford Road in Winston-Salem. And, of course, dear old dad – and Frank Glieber used to do the putt-putt, and I made myself a lot of money in high school off of putt-putt.
Yeah.
But that's a
Professional Putters Association, as I recall, right?
Yep. I had no interest in being on that tour or the real tour, but I had a good time playing. I can tell you that much. You know what the key was?
I mean, it was all over the.
Well, let me tell you what the key was at working at Putt-Putt in the summer. It's one of my favorite jobs when I was in high school. Let me tell you the key to this. At the Stratford Road Putt-Putt, we had three courses. As I called it, Stratford 1, Stratford 2, Stratford 3. Not to be confused with Pinehurst number 1, Pinehurst number 2, etc. But we had three courses, all right?
Correct.
And so one of the deals working at the Putt-Putt is you had the red, the green, the yellow, and the blue lights, which would be over the shed that we worked out of. Now, we had a microphone, all right? Mm-hmm. And so you would flip every 5 minutes, you'd flip the button and the lights would change. So sometimes it'd be red and yellow flashing. Sometimes it'd be blue and green. And you'd get the microphone and you'd say, hey, anybody out there playing here at Putt-Putt Stratford Road, if you make a hole in one with a red or yellow ball, please come to the gate to receive your free token. That's all right. So the deal was, and this is where I came into play here. You'd find out who's there, right? So you'd see everybody show up with their dates on a Friday night or a Saturday or whatever. And all the good-looking girls.
Knew it.
All the good-looking girls. You would sit there and emphasize, hey, because you'd pick out what putter son to use, what color ball. And I'd always tell the girls, take the blue ball or take the whatever the color was. And so you would keep an eye on the good-looking girls. And if they ever made one, you'd flip the light in a second. And you'd grab the mic and go, hey, I saw the girl out there on number 4 on the third hole and whatever. Come on over here and get your free prize. So you ended up getting this great rapport. And, of course, the guys knew exactly what you were doing, and they wanted to strangle you by the end of the night.
But
you'd give them free. Yeah. Hey, you want a free cup of coffee. You want some Coke. You got some Snicker bars. Whatever you gave away. Hot dogs. I mean, we had all kinds of stuff. So that was the key about working at Putt-Putt. Ice cream, and great
date
ice cream.
With Mark Packer.
He got to know Mark everybody. Packer. And if you were slick with the mic, if you were slick with the mic, you just eyeball the entire three courses at one time. And, of course, you'd hear somebody scream over there in the corner. Like, hey! And, of course, it was the guy. You'd say, oh, no, he's putting with a red ball. No, we're not giving him anything. Give him zip. Zero.
Not getting anything.
But if his girlfriend made one.
Did they know that all those ladies that – you know, had great success at Stratford Road Putt-Putt in Winston-Salem.
Yeah. Knew them all.
That the guy behind the counter would one day have a bobblehead at a minor league baseball game.
It's right there. Watch the dust come out of it right there.
there it is. Yeah. Holy smokes.
Now you know the story.
All right. Real quick. Yeah. Well, we know the story. Real quick, let's pivot here. Basketball news. Hubert Davis completed his staff at North Carolina. Sean May is an assistant coach. Brad Frederick remains from Roy Williams' staff. Jeff Lebo joins, as does a former Tar Heel, Jackie Manning. So Hubert Davis told you it'd be Carolina guys, and it is Carolina guys. Speaking of guys, Mike Krzyzewski keeps it with Duke guys. Nolan Smith has replaced Nate James on Coach K's staff. Promoted to assistant coach, Nate James is the new head basketball coach at Austin Peay. In Clarksville, Tennessee, and nice to see Nolan Smith get an opportunity as an assistant coach with Coach K and the Blue Devils. Happy for both those schools. They keep it in the family, if you will. There is a rules recommendation. I'm only going to pass on this quickly just to say Matt Norlander, who covers college basketball for CBSSports.com, tweeted something that there are a few pretty wild possible rule changes for men's basketball. A modified 6-foul rule. I don't care what we're doing here. We don't want 6 fouls. 5 fouls. That's all we got. 5. We don't need 6. We don't need 3 to make 2. We don't need to move lines. We don't need to do anything. 5 fouls, Pack. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm saying. We don't need to get into all this rule business, extra steps on a Euro step. No. 5 fouls and traveling. That's all I'm going to say. We got other issues we need to deal with. We don't need to be jacking around with the rule book.
I'm not even going to get in the conversation. If that's what you want, that's what you should get. I'm not even going to argue with you.
No, but I'm serious. Do you sense we should do that? 5-6 fouls? What?
I don't care. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, if you want 5, you want 6, pick one. As long as we're all doing it together. Yeah. I mean, I would like to see walking called. When everybody walks, I'd like to see palming called. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they did that in the NBA, would they ever finish a game? If you called walking or palming in the NBA, would we ever finish a game?
Yep.
Would anybody ever score 80 points? I don't know.
the Packer and Durham podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Power Hour continues. More great guests. John Desko coming up here in about 15 minutes. But we switch gears, Wes. Number one in the country. That'd be Pitt. We're talking men's soccer. Yeah. Takes on number four in the country, Clemson. Winner has got the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. It's the first of many. Alexander Dexter joins us from Pittsburgh. Let's bring him on, see what's going on. There he is. All right, man.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
It's good, man. I tell you, it's Pitt and Clemson again. You guys getting used to seeing these dudes or what?
Oh, yeah. We're getting used to seeing them too much now at this point.
But you know what? It's good to, but it's good to see them now, because this one really is a big deal tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge deal. We both know that whoever wins this game can get a qualifier and a bid for the next tournament coming up. It's a big one. This is definitely
all right. You're the national player of the week in soccer. What does that mean? That's pretty good. I mean, you hear it and you go, whoa. So what's it mean to you?
I mean, I think it's just – the last game we played, we took a very strong Virginia side and we beat them 5-0. But that was just because of my teammates. You know, we have a very strong group of guys this year. And so I'm just helping my team as much as I can, doing my part, getting goals, assists. You know, that's the job as a winger. So for me, it's just testament to my teammates. I got to assist because we have some great group of guys that are clinical in the final third. So
you went to high school in Germany. When you think of soccer, when you think of soccer in Europe, it's just a different animal, isn't it? What was that like growing up in terms of the importance of this sport in your life?
Oh, it was so different over there. They breathe soccer, you know? So when I went there and my freshman year in high school, I was engulfed in this amazing culture, and I was lucky enough. That was the time where they won the World Cup. So I got to see the amount of passion the country had for the sport, and it made me love it even more. So it was just a tremendous experience to go play overseas, travel.
You grew up in Brooklyn. How did you end up in Germany for high school? Because, you know, Dexter, there are not many soccer guys we hear from Brooklyn now. You know that.
Yeah, well, it's a funny story because my mother and father, they're from Jamaica. So they ended up there. Mm-hmm. And then I spent a few years in New York. And my dad is in the Army. He's retired now. Mm-hmm. So we moved down to Fort Benning, Georgia. You know, the military life, mm-hmm. you move around a lot. And then he got the opportunity between, it was Japan or Germany, to deploy for 2 years. And the end of my eighth grade year, my mother decided that it would be best for me to not stay in Georgia, to go to Germany and live with my dad and get some great soccer experience. And she knew it was what's best for me, so.
You know, I lived in Brooklyn Heights for 2 years, and I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't see a whole lot of soccer balls or green grass there near the promenade in Brooklyn. So, I mean, I knew you had to hone those skills somewhere else. I knew that had to be the case.
Yeah. Yeah, I lived more out in the, like, a countryside. Columbus, Georgia is where I spend most of my time in the States. Not really New York, but Columbus, Georgia. CFC Red Star is my old club. Yeah, a lot of green grass down there to play some soccer. So much in New York, though.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so here we go again. Pitt and Clemson, you guys have had some unbelievable matches, right? So why this time does the number one team in the country, Pitt, figure out a way to slay Clemson? What's going to be the key with this showdown?
Well, the key of this showdown is just to be ruthless and to bring our A game. We know that we have talent. We know that this is the year to do it. We have so many newcomers, Bertin, Phillip. We have the great captain, Walty, in the midfield. So many newcomers that are here. And I think just with the amount of strength that we have, that It's going to be a great game. We always love to put on a show. I think we lead the country in goals and creating chances. So what it is for us is just being ruthless in the attacking third, you know.
Has this been as different kind of a year as we've all anticipated? We've talked to volleyball coaches and players, soccer coaches and players, the fall piece and now the spring piece. Has that just been totally different than anything you ever expected?
Well, in terms of college, yes, because playing here for 3 years, I'm used to playing a game every 2-3 days between the span of 2-3 months, you know. And since COVID, it's kind of been a nicer year in terms of getting that one game a week, because growing up, we all love to train all week and then have the game on the weekend. So this is what most of us have been used to before college. And so in a sense, if it's weird because it's not used to at the college stage, but this is what we like to do. So I prefer this type of playing in the fall and the spring, because your body gets more rest and you can like really honing on your training all week long and then really show it off on the weekend.
Does it feel like there's some unfinished business with this team, given how dynamic this team is from a scoring perspective, how last year ended? Does it feel like, hey, this is our time to finally say, guess what? We're the best in the country.
Yeah, we have a lot of unfinished business to do. It's not just because we're ranked number one, but we know the talent that we have, and we want to put that on display. And this next upcoming game, we know that if we win, we get a bye in the first round in the next coming tournament. So with that bye, we know that it's going to help us so much. And yeah, this game versus Clemson is like, it's a rivalry right now, I would say.
All right, final question. We do this with every student athlete. Since you've been in Pittsburgh, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class has to be, say calc. Calc was my hardest class.
Back to math again. Here we go, Wes. Back to math. Always a problem.
I'm telling you, man. Totally with you, Dexter. Yeah. Totally with you on the math.
Yeah. Right. Used there. To love it.
By the way, do you? Do you know Kayla Lund? She plays volleyball. 2-time ACC Player of the Year in volleyball.
Oh,
you know
yes.
Kayla at all?
Yes, yeah. We're good friends.
Kayla gave
love
us.
Kayla.
Yeah, Kayla's great. She's been on the show several times. She's a friend of the show, right, Pac?
Yep, no question.
Mm-hmm. She told us one time it was Russian fairy tales was her hardest class. Was that right, Pac?
Yeah, it could have been.
Oh.
Could have been.
Stay away. I was in a class like that.
Yeah.
I had to get out of that class real fast.
Yeah, Dex, I would have said fake left, go right, drop ad, catch you guys later. Yeah. I got stuff to do. Well, listen, we can't wait to watch you tomorrow night. That is going to be a great match. It always is. Continued success. Stay healthy. And again, 7 p.m. tomorrow night right here on ACC Network. It'll be great. Wish you the best.
Thank you so much. Take care, guys.
Yep. Alexander Dexter, fantastic player, National Player of the Week. Pittsburgh Clemson tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here on ACC Network. It's right here for you. I mean, we got it. Number one, number four at historic Riggs Field. Right there along the drag, Main Street in Clemson, right, Pac? You can see it from the street.
It's about a driver and a flip wedge to the Esso Club.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
John Desco coming up here momentarily. Talk a little Syracuse lacrosse. Won't be any good tomorrow, right, against Carolina? Kid me, that will be awesome, too. Spring sports, the Olympic sports, man, forget it. Forget it how good it is. Lacrosse, baseball, softball.
Got nice 2 days in Greensboro at Sedgefield for women's golf. The men's golf will be played, about 50 minutes from my house in Alpharetta at the Crabapple course of Capital City Club, which is a monster, by the way. So the long hitters, and you know everybody showing up at that can knock it 3 bills, Pac.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. You know every one of them's got 300 in the bag.
No doubt.
So they got to find a long, long golf course for the long ball hitters. So.
Cannot, Can I just say something real quick? After making fun of 10:05, the curse, as we call it, the 10:05 curse, Bennett Conlon, who's been on this program before, is reporting that Virginia is announcing that swimming and diving head coach Todd DeSorbo, who was on the program, in fact, he might have been on West when you were not here. I'm not sure.
That is correct.
Yep. Todd DeSorbo was on, and he was terrific. He has agreed to a new 5-year contract extension, and that goes through the 26-27 season. Of course, the Virginia women's team won the national championship this year. So congratulations to Todd and the University of Virginia. He's done a great job, perfect fit.
Yep.
And when you got hardware, man, you got leverage. But Carla Williams, smart move. Everybody's happy on that one. So that's good news in Charlottesville. Really good.
Let's go to Central New York, shall we? We talked about sensational lacrosse last night here on ACC Network. Well, you can lock and load it for 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow because number 9 Syracuse and number 5 North Carolina get together at the Dome, and John Desko is the head lacrosse coach at Syracuse. Coach, good morning. Thank you for your patience. Great to have you with us.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, I want to get right into it. John, you've been living this for a long time with incredible success, but there's a lot of folks, I think, because of the ACC network, are being able to experience lacrosse for the first time, whether it be the men's teams, women's teams, whatever. And I said to Wes earlier that, you know, Friday nights became the Friday night duels with wrestling, and to see other sports other than football and basketball flourish and get this kind of exposure, it's been great. But wrestling kind of found its niche on the network on Friday nights with the duels. There is no doubt in my mind that Thursday nights belong to lacrosse on ACC Network. And some of these matches, it doesn't matter if it's the men's, women's, you pick, because everybody seems to be ranked in the top 10. But Thursday nights on ACC Network has become almost must-watch appointment viewing, because regardless of the matchups, and you had one the other night against Duke, which was an incredible match, but it's unbelievable the quality of play. And for folks that are not necessarily lacrosse fans, it is so addicting to get hooked on the pace, the quality of play, the coaching. I mean, the whole package. It is an unbelievable sport. So really, congratulations to you, players, the league. It's a tip of the cap because it makes for great television. And I can only imagine it's enhancing recruiting and everything else, regardless if we're talking Syracuse, North Carolina, or anybody else for that matter.
Yeah, I think so. That Thursday night is a lot of fun to play in. It's a little shorter week preparation-wise because you probably had a game on Saturday, the Saturday before. But it's something you really look forward to. And obviously the ACC, with you know, packed with players and the style that the teams decided to play. Most of the teams in the ACC are pretty fast, and that's what you know, that's what the athletes want to play, and that's what the fans want to watch. So it's I think it's been great for not only ACC lacrosse, but college lacrosse in general.
Coach, we say often when we talk about this sport, there are no nights off. You're the best example. Tomorrow is just another game of a top five opponent coming in. I mean, what in the world? This is like this every weekend? I mean, you just strap up and go, I guess, huh?
Yeah, well, we changed the schedule this year. You know, there are only 5 teams in the ACC that play men's lacrosse, so that leaves you with 4 games. And this year we decided to add 2 more games in the ACC. That'll be, you know, that'll go on a rotation. And it's just, you know, I think it's been great, again, for the sport and for our guys and for us. It's been very exciting.
John, do you ever remember the league being this talented top to bottom? I mean, I know you just said 5 teams, but it just seems like everybody has got dudes. I mean, everybody's got players.
Yeah, you know, and especially this year of all years, I think with the portal and like the Ivy League not playing, and some of those players coming from the Ivy League going to the ACC has made the ACC teams even stronger. And obviously the talent level's gone up, so I think it's as strong as it's ever been throughout the course of history in the ACC.
Well, and you've got an immensely talented team. I think you got 5 guys on the midseason All-America list on Inside Lacrosse. But you've also got a guy who's set a precedent in Peter Dearth. First 3-time captain in the program. I mean, just talk about what that means to you as a longtime, you know, fixture in lacrosse at Syracuse.
Well, I think Peter is a great leader on and off the field, and you know, he knows what it takes to win, and he's got the team first. There you see him hit as a short stick defensive midfielder, coming down and scoring on offense. His freshman year here, he played on our first midfield for a portion of the time during the season. So he's very familiar at the offensive end of the field. And just to show what kind of player he is, where the team needed most was at the short stick defensive position. And, you know, without hesitation, he moved over there. And that's a pretty selfless thing for him to do. You know, a lot of guys, once they get on offense, they get a taste for that. They want to stay there. And for him to switch over and play defense for us and maybe be, if not the best in the country, one of the best in the country at that position. And he knows what's best for the team. So even if there's something going on off the field that might not be just right, he's quick to step in and make sure that's corrected. And we're very fortunate to have him here.
Haven't seen the Heels since 2019. What's different about this team that you're going to see tomorrow afternoon versus the one you saw a couple years ago?
Not a lot. They might be a little bit better talent-wise, but Joe Bresci, their coach there, and staff, they got a terrific staff. They really like to get up and down the field. They probably take a few more chances than a lot of the teams in the ACC. But they want to play fast, and we want to play fast. We've never backed down to that. We actually, that's in our DNA. So it should be a great game to watch, and I think they're, you know, extremely talented offensively. They face off well. The defense is playing well. The goalie has had a terrific year so far. So we've got to come with our A game come Saturday afternoon.
Coach, we talked about last night. Did you watch last night? I mean, is that one of those things you set in, go, okay, I'm gonna watch Duke and Virginia get after it here a little bit. I wanna take this in.
Oh yeah, you know I let the family know that I'd be watching the game last night, so I strapped in, and to be honest with you, at the end of the game, it felt almost like I played. It was such an exciting game up and down.
It was.
Almost identical to our game with Duke down there, where we got down early and came back in the second half. We actually had the lead at the end of the fourth quarter, and they came alive again and got the winner. So it's a very exciting game, fun to watch, a lot of exciting plays. A lot of people don't always pay attention to, but just the riding and clearing was fun to watch, which is a separate aspect of the game.
John, it's funny you said that because I was texting with some guys last night. I said, man, this reminds me of the Syracuse-Duke game. It was like, hey, whoever has the ball last is going to win this thing, and Duke made a miraculous stop to basically win that thing against you guys. But even the Duke-North Carolina game felt the same way. Same thing last night with Duke-Virginia. And I know tomorrow when you play North Carolina, it's going to be the same deal. And the fact that you said, hey, we both like to get up and down the field, grab your popcorn and just throw away the remote, because I'm telling you, the sport is so much fun. And I say that as a novice because I still don't know the nuances of the game, because like a lot of folks, I think we're finding this out on ACC Network. This sport is now being in so many front of so many different eyeballs than ever before, but it's got a little bit of everything. It's got great speed. It's physical, unbelievable skill, athleticism, great coaching. Got to throw that in there because you're listening. But I mean, it really does. It has a combination of everything. It's got a little hockey, a little baseball. It's got everything in this sport, but it never slows down. And the fact that you think both these teams tomorrow are going to go 200 miles an hour, I mean, I can't wait to watch this thing.
Yeah, it's a sport that once you understand the rules, you get hooked. You know, a lot of people don't always understand, why the ball went out of bounds, how come the other team got it back, and so on. But there's even, mentioned sports, there's a lot of basketball in there, give and goes, pick and rolls, man-to-man defense, zone defense. The clear and ride is kind of like a full court press in basketball. So it's very similar to other sports, and once you get the nuances of it, the rules, it's an addictive sport to watch.
John, I want to follow up with you on
something. You know what? It was interesting.
I want to follow up on something because I want to hear from a legendary coach the answer to this question. Wes and I were talking about the mindset of a goalie in lacrosse. You got to be a little bit out of your mind, right? You got to be a little off center to say, listen, That's what I want to do. I want dudes firing this thing at me at 100 miles an hour at point blank range. When you recruit and once you see the mindset of players, how do you know that guy right there is a goalie? He would make a great goalie in lacrosse. How do you know that?
Well, they're normally fearless, and yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. They're a little different. many that we've had over the years are a little different. But I like the ones that when a goal is scored, they don't get all, you know, out of their minds and get upset. They turn, they pick the ball up, and they just focus on the next one. And that's what I like to see in goaltenders. And probably recruiting goaltenders, might be the hardest thing to recruit in lacrosse. You see what you see at the high school level or at the club level, and especially with the early recruiting, you're recruiting these guys 2 and 3 years out of high school or in high school, and there's so much time to change. And then also the ball in high school, you know, you're lucky if you see a guy shooting the ball, 80 miles an hour, and it might be the best player on the other team, 85 miles an hour. Then you get in college and the ball's going 100 miles an hour at times, and that's a whole different read. That 10, 15, 20 mile an hour difference. So goalies, it a lot of times is an adjustment when they go to college. They got to get used to the speed of the ball. There has to be some anticipation, and there definitely has to be some fearlessness, because somebody that wants to get hit by a ball going 100 miles an hour and feels good after he gets hit by it, that's a little different cat.
Yeah, that's not a marshmallow coming in there either. That's a hard ball with an attitude coming at you. I mean, it is a real deal now.
And this is why John Desko has been so good at his job and won so many games and titles and everything else, because he used the word fearless where Packer and I use the word crazy. So it works out good, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
No, you're talking exactly about right.
Goals. Yeah,
you're exactly right. Because when you get hit by that ball, it's a good thing, right? It didn't go in the goal, and you feel good about it. Where I'd probably have to, I'd probably have a tear in my eye and limp towards the sidelines.
Hey, coach, I would only sign up for a tear in my eye. That'd be about the last thing I'd be worried about is the tear in my eye once that ball comes over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Hey. Coach, thanks a ton for the time on this day. I know things are a little packed up with getting ready for tomorrow, but we're excited to have Carolina Syracuse tomorrow afternoon here on ACC Network. We wish you the best of luck and on down the stretch. This will be fun to watch how just impactful lacrosse, both men's and women's in this league, can be as we move toward the national tournament. So thanks again.
Well, thanks, guys. It was nice chatting with you, and go Orange.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment of the week. We are 15 minutes away from two things. We are 15 minutes away from two things. Number one, me, Chester, and Fuller in the Ford F-150 going to a Bojangles near you to get our traditional order, which will be a bacon, egg, and cheese for me today, I think. And the boys, of course, will go for two Bojangles biscuits with no butter. Plain, please. No butter for the dogs. Watching their waistline.
Yeah, they look revved up and ready to go, by the way.
I assure you, they know when 10 o'clock is ready to roll, because they will be in the truck here in 15 minutes and also 15 minutes away from some type of breaking news in the Atlantic Coast Conference at 10:05.
No, not today. Bennett Conlon's already helped us. We're good. Bennett Conlon, you're the man.
Well,
he hit the pre-10:05 for us. Brendan Marks is going to go on vacation. He can leave. We've had the pre-10:05 today. We're good.
Okay. I don't put 10:05 past anybody in this league now.
By the way, one day on a Friday, we're going to let you leave at 9:55 so America can watch the dogs leave with you.
Yeah, you
which
keep,
is a sight unto you itself.
You are the king of the selfie. You keep wanting me to film us going to Bojangles and going through the drive-through order.
Hilarious. Let's,
okay. All right.
Be good.
You agree with that there, bobblehead?
I just want to see the dogs get up and leave.
Says no. Bobblehead with dust popping out of his head. No.
Let's go, shall we? Let's go to the Bojangles weekend menu ahead of your trip to Bojangles, by the way, with Chester and Fuller. We start tomorrow, 11 a.m., Matt Berry, Mike Golick Jr. will have coverage of the Miami spring game from Hard Rock for you. No De'Aaron King, but there'll be plenty to still see at 11 a.m. Then men's lacrosse, we told you, North Carolina, Syracuse, Coach Desco, 3 o'clock. He and Joe Bresci match wits at the Dome. 5 o'clock, we got softball for you, Carolina, Pittsburgh here on ACC Network. And then tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, winner goes to the NCAA tournament, the automatic qualifier, Pitt and Clemson from historic Riggs Field in Tigertown. Sunday, pair of baseball games. 12 noon start for Clemson and Miami. And good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. They'll finish inside 3 hours, so you can then get to Pittsburgh to see the back end of North Carolina and Pitt. If not, I'm sure they'll give you instructions on where you can see the start of that one, if college baseball is kind enough to play inside of 3 hours. That is this weekend's Bojangle menu. Thanks to Paul Biancardi, Wesley Haynes of the Brander Group. We had a fabulous conversation with him. Kyle Peterson, of course, Alexander Dexter of Pitt Soccer, and John Desco, the great coach of lacrosse at Syracuse, all part of our Friday program here on Packer and Durham.
While you were going through that list, Meg could not help but to give you the overhead shot of Chester now putting in this Chester, let me just explain something to folks. This is where I normally see Chester during our SiriusXM afternoon radio show off campus from 4 to 7. Because you can't see in the corner, which you can't see, is where I do the radio show. And Chester, this is how Chester looks. See, that camera is right where I sit for radio, all right? And that's how Chester looks at me for 3 hours on radio. So during the break, I'll take the headset off and look immediately to my left, which is what you see in that camera angle. And that's what I see with my dogs. Normally, Fuller is sound asleep, and Chester's leaning his head on the armrest like, all right, fat boy, are we ready to go? Come on now, let's hurry up now. Let's get on with it. Time for some brown water, and you guys go up there and feed me. So that's normally how it works, right there.
There you go.
Gotta love him. Man's best friend.
Yeah. By the way, thanks to Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, and Meg Drobniak, Hank and Matt on the back row. Just a fantastic week, Mark.
Fun week.
Really good week of guests and everybody else. So thanks to everybody for their help.
I was bragging about this yesterday and didn't have a chance to say it. The student athlete, the female student athletes and our broadcasters this week, I thought were sensational. I'm going to give them extra props. Monica McNutt, always fun and happy. The coveted invites. Invites. She's got volleyball. But the student athletes this week were awesome. And I say this all the time. It's my favorite part of the show. And it just is an indicator of how great this league is. Yeah, winning championships is awesome. But you know what? Getting the awesome degree, handling yourself the right way. Student athletes in this league, awesome. Tip of the cap. Great job as always.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.